How beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. Amen. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to, if you brought your Bibles, hope you did, turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And in verse 27. Proverbs 20, verse 27. You know, your stomach all gets tied in knots when you know you got to preach. And if you think it's easy, it's not. I've done it hundreds, maybe thousands of times, but it's never easy. And what I'm trying to say is the Lord's got to do it, not me. I mean, that doesn't alleviate me from studying and searching the will of the Lord out. But if the Holy Spirit don't work in this, then nothing will get done. And so I pray that you'll get what is intended this morning, that it may be a benefit to you. I thank you all for being here. I don't take that lightly. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, because He made this all possible. I pray that you be attentive. The subject I want to talk about this morning is does God sees you? God sees you. You say, well, He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's all powerful. God sees you, and it's really important you get that this morning. It'll help with your spiritual life. And if you're not saved here today, you can't hide from God. He sees you as well. I know what the old text, what the Bible says, that God said in that day if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will say the most truthful way, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I hope you never find yourself in that situation, because it'll be eternally too late. But it says right here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Brother Devin, could you lead us in a word of prayer, brother? Amen. Amen. Thank you. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is the candle of the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Here the spirit of man is likened to a candle that allows the Lord to see the real man inside. You know, the Lord looketh on the inward man and not the outward man. You know, we try to hide ourselves behind our exterior, put so much emphasis on the exterior of us because that's all we know. But you know what? You're a triune being. You're just like God in the respect that you've been made in the image of God. You've got an outward appearance that I see. You've got an inward man called the soul, and you've got a spirit that came from God, a living spirit. That's when God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, he became a living soul. Without that spirit within you from God, it's not a spark of goodness that a lot of people do. No, it's life that He gave you. And you are a triune being. You are you have a body, you have a soul, and a spirit. And God sees you for what you really are. It's kind of humbling when God sees you. You know, we put on a front all the time. We want to be in our best. And, you know, good impressions or first impressions are always the best impressions. Or they could be bad impressions, depend on the state that you're in. But you can't, the gist of it is that you can't hide anything from God. He sees you for what you really are. And the sooner you come to that realization, whether you're saved or lost will determine on how quickly you get your life in line with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can in this time before death, your eternity is determined by what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible says there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're all sinners. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. We're only going to get to heaven by the grace of God anyway, not by our good works. But God sees you. He knows your state. He knows what's inside of you. He sees the very core of you. He sees the real man inside. And that's why it says, the Spirit of the Lord is a candle of the Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Here in inward parts, he says right here in Psalm 139. Here David is writing. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now here David, who had about as close a relationship to God as you and I who are saved, he was in wondrous awe of how much the Lord really knew him. You know, we kid ourselves a lot when we think God doesn't know. You know, we go home and you put on a face here and you all look wonderful, you know, and you're all well-dressed, put on your Sunday best, whatever. You got that smile on your face. But God sees you when you're at home. He sees the real you. He sees you when you're in your secret. He sees you when you're alone. He sees what your thoughts are. He knows everything about you. And if you contemplate that, and you pray about it for 6 months, as somebody used to say, you're going to realize there's nothing you can hide from him. He knows everything about you. He knows your likes. He knows your dislikes. He knows who you're mad at and who you've got to grind against somebody, or you got a problem with somebody. He knows who that is, and that's why he's constantly doing this. You never can get away from God. You know what you can do? A lot of us did when we were lost. We just kind of seared our conscience. You know, that's what the Bible says. You know how in Romans chapter 2, if you turn there, Romans chapter 2, this is how he does it. Romans chapter 2. He put something in you. He put a tracking, a GPS tracker in every one of us. And that's what he left for us. He says right here in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do my nature, the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, you're not going to get away with anything. You've got something inside of you, whether you would like to admit it or not. You've got a conscience, which animals don't have. You have. Animals operate on instinct. You not only have instinct, but you have a conscience, a God conscience. And when the Word of God hits that conscience, it starts reacting. It either reacts in the negative or the positive. You have the will over that. You know, you can see it, you can sear your conscience to the point that where sin doesn't bother you anymore. They always worried about the heathen in Africa. You know, I don't know why they're always worried about the heathen in Africa. How about the heathen in Walmart? You know? That's why missionaries, they can go overseas and they can just start preaching the Word of God and people start reacting to it. And next thing you know, they'll be starting to make changes in their lives because the conscience is being tugged at by God Himself through the Holy Spirit. And if you're honest with yourself, God dealt with you. Remember the time when you were saved, how the Lord dealt with you, wouldn't leave you alone? Aren't you glad He didn't leave you alone? I'm glad He didn't leave me alone. But some of you sitting here, I don't know where you're at spiritually. I hope you're all saved. But if you're not, you know what you're doing? You're betting against time that the Lord will not do what He says, that the Word of God is not true, and that you've got still a little bit more time to do what you want to do without consequence. But I'm here to warn you that you don't have that luxury. You couldn't tell me or guarantee me or even your best friend or even yourself that you would be here 24 hours from now. I remember a witness to one guy one day, and then I went into work and they said, "Did you hear what happened to so-and-so?" And I said, "No, what happened to him?" And he says he was hit by a truck, killed instantly on his way to the airport. And you know, your life could just go just like that. What are you doing with it? You know, God sees everything about you. He knows everything about you. And He knows what your problem is. And if you just give it to Him, He could take care of those things. In Job chapter 34, it says right here in Job 34, read over here how the Lord sees. It says Job chapter 34, verse 21, it says, "For His eyes are upon the ways of man, and He seeth all his goings. There is no darkness, no shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves." You know, sinners, they think, and anybody, they think they're doing wrong. They think, well, God don't see nothing. You know, you'll lie to yourself. You get yourself involved in things that you shouldn't be in, and you think, well, God doesn't see that. He sees everything. If you're saved, especially if you're saved, God lives within you. And guess what? He reads everything you read. He watches everything you watch, and He hears everything you hear. And depending on how bad or good it is, He reacts accordingly. God, you can't hide anything from Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read over here, "And He, all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom we have to do." It says right here in Hebrews chapter 4, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You ever been in a service and a preacher will preach and he don't know you from Adam, and he just hits a verse and you say, "He's preaching about me. Who told him?" That's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to jab you one more time with your spirit. How does He do that? He knows exactly. He made you. He knows exactly how you work, how you think, how you operate. He's got everything in His eyes. And I can't explain it, but God knows everything. and you're not going to get away with it. I'm not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away from, let's put it this way, you're not going to get away with bad, and you're not going to get away with good. You say, well, God, you know, so that's why we shouldn't be thinking about ourselves so much when it comes to that. If you're doing something right for the Lord, then rejoice in that matter. Don't worry if you ever get recognition, because if you're doing it right, you're not doing it to be seen. You're doing it because you love the Lord. And don't worry, God will reward you. You do something to him, for him in secret, he rewards you openly one day. It may not be immediate, but God keeps books and he knows everything. And what I'm, if I can impress upon you that you're not getting away with anything, I'm not getting away with anything. God knows my uprising and my down sitting, as the psalmist says. He says right here, neither is there, verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If you're lost here, you've done some things in your past that probably you can't even remember. But at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll all be laid bare. It'll be kind of a frightening thing. You'll be so distraught and so upset. The mercy that God will show you is that he'll have to close the video down, because you'll be so ashamed. But wouldn't it be, if you're saved, when they open your book, you know what they'll see? The advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, will say, Father, I don't see anything. All I see is your blood. All I see is him trusting you, her trusting you. And God will say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All things are naked to him. People say when they ask if they know God, if God knows them, they'll say, like one of my cousins says, well, me and God, we got this thing. me and God, we got this understanding. In other words, that's their way out. If as if to shield or make excuses for their sins. Or the thing is, rudiments of the world is everybody's doing it. Well, just because everyone's doing it, don't make it right. You know. Just because Dr. Smellfungus down the road is saying it's all right with this, you know, that it should be right. No, it's not according to what he says. What does the Word of God say about something? That's what the rubber meets the road, you know. We don't do this according to our own will. We must go according to the Word of God. We got enough to answer for. It better follow the rule book. Christians sometimes think that God is okay with or even ambivalent to their decisions that they make in their life. And they get this attitude, well, this preacher says this and this preacher does this. Well, who cares what the preacher says, what the Word of God has to say? I'm reminded of a verse that says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks bad, it is because it is bad. And if it doesn't please the Lord, then what is it? It's displeasing to the Lord. We can't go on that. God knows, just like that candle. Your soul, a spirit of man is like a candle. God can see what's going on. He knows your motive. One thing, I've been to court, and years ago, we were involved in street preaching controversy, and most of us were thrown in jail for preaching on the street. Can you imagine that? I mean, when I come up here and preach on the street in Mount Airy, I'm going, wow, the cops actually like it. Down there, they didn't. They'd haul you in jail. And I soon realized that going to court proceedings for other people, I realized they weren't looking at, they wouldn't even judge motive. They were just voting on, they were just going by the letter of the law, and they didn't even follow the letter of the law. Like some lawyer told me years ago, if you want justice, don't go to court. Because you're not going to get it, because they're going to buy and swindle their way out of the truth. and those that need judgment don't get it, and those that are innocent get the judgment that they didn't earn. It's crooked, you know, and that's just the way it is. But with God, He knows everything. God knows everything. He does it by the conscience. And I just want you to remember this: some of these greatest hits in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes. Always remember this. In Ecclesiastes, let me see, those Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Let me get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says right here, after all that the preacher had preached about and all the things that were done under the sun, and that's the theme of Ecclesiastes, and all the things that you could obtain and all that, there's really nothing to it. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If you're lost here, you've done some things in your past and done in secret that have been recorded and being preserved to be replayed once more at the judgment. And it won't be a pretty sight. There's just like liars. How do you keep a lie going? You just have to keep lying. And it never works, because liars, if they're going to be successful liars, they've got to have a real good memory. But most of us don't have a good memory. And that's why our lies always catch up with us. You know? It says right here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus Christ said this. He says right here in Matthew chapter 12, he says this. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth evil things. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Kind of scary. Can you think about all the evil things that you said in your life? That they're going to be replayed? You know, some of the things that you said in jest, some dirty jokes that you may have told, so many things that you have lied at, the lies that you've told, one of these days, they're going to be replayed in stereophonic sound for everyone to see. And it'll take the mercy of God to say you to close it down before it got too bad. And you think, well, God didn't forget. God has forgotten all that. No, He keeps records. He keeps books. And everything you've done will be judged out of what he has recorded. But as I said before, the Word of God says you can alleviate all that. You can have your sins forgiven by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll wipe it all away. With that knowledge and knowing how much He knows you, and He knows you real well, and as soon as you realize how much He really does know you, it should cause you to do certain things. If you're lost, you should be seeking salvation. It's not good enough just to come to church. Oh, we loved for you to come to church. But if that's all you did was attend a meeting and you didn't get anything out of it, and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're just taking your life into your own hands. As I said before, you're not guaranteed to live tomorrow. And the truth is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that death came by sin for all that have sinned, and for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But if you're willing to seek God, he said right here in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The reason why some people say, well, I sought after God, but I never found him. You know what they did? They either are lying or they never really did. They never really were honest. Just like God wants you to be honest with him. He wants you to be honest. He says in Romans chapter 10, I'm not going to quote it because I'll probably mess it up, but come to Romans chapter 10. It says right here, this is real simple. Salvation is really simple, but we make it hard because of a lot of problems that we have. But it says right here, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but are you believing on him? Are you putting your trust in him? If he's the only thing that's going to keep you out of hell, have you grabbed a hold of him and you trusted in him? Or are you just trusting in your good works or coming to church? You know, you got to trust him for the right reason, that you realize that you're a sinner in need of forgiveness and you want the forgiveness of God, and you come to Jesus Christ in faith and you ask him to save you. The Bible says right here, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the Greek it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's whosoever, not a certain select few, but whosoever. If you go to Joel, it says, in truth, God wants you to be honest. If you'll just call upon the name of the Lord to save you in truth and asking forgiveness of your sins, that you're the dirty, rotten, low-down sinner that you are, people say, well, I'm not that bad. You know, you ask somebody, are you a sinner? Well, yeah. Or, we're all sinners. And what they think is, yeah, we're not all perfect. And then you ask him this, well, tell me a sin that you've done that will send you straight to hell. And they'll look at you and they'll say, well, I can't think of one. One that I've done. They always go, I never killed anyone. Yeah, but if you ever had hatred in your heart to anyone, you're just as bad as the one who took the knife or the gun and shot somebody to death. People are funny. You know, he says right here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, he wants you to seek salvation. Secondly, he wants you to be serious about your worship. If you know that God knows everything about you, he wants you to be serious about your worship. How's that? The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. First of all, you've got to do it according to the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says on how to properly worship God, that's how you're to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts, and yet you've got to have your heart in it. Not just your mind, but your heart. You know, it's sad, but a lot of Christians, they just come to church and they just go through the motions and they just check that box, and their heart and their mind is off in gaga land. They're either, what am I going to do for tomorrow at work? What am I going to eat? You know, we're all guilty of it. How's your worship? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as the days are evil. You know, God wants you in church every time the doors are open. Well, I can't do it. It's too much church. It's too much church. There's going to be a time in your life, it may get even bad in this country, where you'd wish you had went to church more often. It's not for the preacher. It's for you. We got a lot of Christians out in the world, and I believe they're saved, but they I call them free-range Christians. You know, like free-range chickens? You know, they're just roaming out there, and they'll go to church when they feel like it, and then when they don't feel like it, they'll stay at home, you know? And, you know, me and the preacher, we just meet out there on the boat. You know, that's my church. And you know what that is? God instituted the church to give you the truth, but also says that you could be accountable to each other. God wants you to be accountable to each other. You know, what keeps me in line is not the real spirituality that I possess. No, it's me coming in here and making me behave myself long enough to it'll wear off. It'll wear with me long enough when I go home. Because I answer to you all. I answer to the Lord. You know, would you like to be caught doing something wrong out in the world by one of your church members? No, you wouldn't. You'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you? And that's why churches, it's there for us. God made it for us because He knows He created you. He knows exactly what you need to help you along this journey. And until you get out of the world, you're going to fight the flesh, the world, and the devil all every day of your life. Don't you think you need a little help along the way with each other? That's why we encourage you to come to church. It's not so that we can put numbers on the board and say, oh, we had the biggest church in town. No, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with your love and service to the Lord and each other. It says right here, in Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord was preaching against the nation of Israel, and He was telling them how bad their services were. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt be a delight. Thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know what, if you would just avail yourself to come to church when you know you need to, you'd get a blessing and the Lord would bless you. But you know what it is? We get too caught up in the world. We get too far in debt, where we have to work overtime, or we got this commitment and we got that commitment. And you know what? The church always comes second. And you wonder why your world is falling apart. You know what? Alexis de Tocqueville, I think he was French, he came over here in the 1800s, and he said, you know what makes America great? It's not the factories that I see. It's not the land that I see. It's not the citizens I see. What makes America great is the churches that I see. Back then, the churches stood for something. What do they stand for now? Oh, you can be faithful to His Word. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. If you're spending time in the Word, you're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, according to 1 Peter. And you're faithful to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to spend hours and hours of praying. That means you've got a prayer mindfulness. You know what I appreciate about this church? Is that when we get and we start texting one another, it's about prayer. You know what that helps you to keep a mindfulness of prayer. You know, I am as guilty as anybody else, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And the older I get, the less that you know, that mind thing starts going. But it keeps me reminding not to be balled up so much in my needs, but the needs of others. And the more, and I found out, if you honestly pray for people, you can never speak evil of them. You know? And that's the way it should be. Not only should be serious about your worship, but you should be sanctified in your work, you in your walk. In 1 Thessalonians, and I'm hurrying. I know 12 o'clock comes and the dead come back to life. But, you know, at least that would happen. You know, I'm a firm believer in the resurrection, because when I was working at the job I had, suddenly everybody came back to life at 4:30 when it was quitting time. I'm a firm believer in resurrection from the dead. But anyway, it says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, verse 1, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye be abound more and more. For ye know the commandments of we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that she should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness." And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, it says right here, this is what you should be working on. If you know that the Lord is watching over you, shouldn't this be your desire? It says right here in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God," verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." If you know that nothing will keep you out of trouble more than anything, but when you get it into your mind that the Lord could come back at any moment, it'll clear up a lot of your bad habits. It'll clear up a lot of your bad thoughts about your brothers and sisters in Christ, about things you know you're doing but you shouldn't be doing. How'd you like to be caught like that when the Lord came back? I wouldn't. Now, it also should be surrendered to His will. Without going into all that, the Bible says, "I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Brethren, whether you like it or not, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you became not your own anymore. You were bought with a price. You were bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not your own. It's no longer, "I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that." No, it's "if the Lord wills." Are you doing it? Are you doing busy for the Lord? And in conclusion, it says, right, you know, it should make you seek salvation. It should make you serious about your worship. It should sanctify, be more sanctified in your walk. It's surrendered, more surrendered to His will. And then finally, I want to leave you with this in Matthew chapter 5. And this is a well-known verse, but it will help you along the way. I hope it does. Matthew chapter 5. Here the Lord speaking, preaching. "And nation of Israel, they should have been a witness to this lost and dying world, but they fell short." If you're a Christian, what are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? He says right here, verse 13, Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you take these words, this message, Lord, and use it for, and send it to where you would have it to go. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here that does not know you as your Lord and Savior, that they'd trust you as their, before it's too late. And I pray, Lord, for those that have, that they would tighten up the areas in their lives. And Lord, you know who they are. I don't know. They'd tighten up the areas in their lives that need to be tended to, and seek you with a pure motive and work, Lord, as they should for you, for your honor and thy glory. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.